Crazy day, right? Yeah, but that's how life is. You know, it's all in how you roll with it that makes the difference. So I think we roll with it pretty well. God's good. We've been talking about that earlier today, about God being good, and He is so good. And it was just so great the way things went. So hey, it's great to be here with you today in worship. Where else would I rather be is here with you, worshiping my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ with you guys. This is what we do on a Sunday. This is what we should do every day. But today we're here and we're making that time to be with Him. So it's good to be here with you and sharing that time. Let's have a prayer. Heavenly Father, we are just so glad that you're here with us, blessing us with your love. Father, we just ask that everyone here today feels the presence of your love. Let's all these things that happened earlier, God, just go right out of their minds now, God, and just chalk it up as another walk in life. So God, we just ask your blessing upon this day, and we ask for your love to penetrate all of our hearts and minds. In Jesus' name, amen. Like Dean said, we're wrapping up our six-week series on Hidden Figures, and it's been a pretty awesome series, and this is the last installment, Secrecy to Surrender. So we're going to get into that real soon, but first of all, we got something coming up on Thursday, right? Yeah? Thanksgiving. Yes. Everyone looking forward to it? Yes. A lot of people have traditions. We have a tradition at our place where we make the turkey and all the stuff at home, and some people bring food in, and all those good things happen. We have our favorites. We like pumpkin pie. We like turkey and other things. I had all kinds of people shouting out their favorite foods for their Thanksgiving dinner at the first service. Somebody yelled out oyster filling. I guess that everyone, whatever. But anyway, what are some of your favorites? Just yell them out. We're not going to stay here too long. But what are some of your favorites for your Thanksgiving dinner? Pumpkin custard? Oh, pumpkin pie? Yeah. Do you like Cool Whip on that, Rhett? Great. Lima beans? Who said lima beans? All right, buddy. I'm a sweet potato. Oh. All right. Okay, we have a lot of favorites here, and and I'm glad you have those favorites, and I'm glad you're getting together with your family and your friends for Thanksgiving dinner, whenever it may be. I know some are celebrating it today, some are celebrating it next weekend, and some are celebrating it on the traditional Thursday of Thanksgiving. But it doesn't matter when you do it; it's just the time you spend with family. It's not about the food; it's about the family, friends, and the love you share with one another. And this is where we're going today, to this Pharisee's dinner, you know, the dinner he's having for Jesus. And before we get there, we're going to introduce you to the characters of this story, which Mikhail already did. Thank you for reading that. Very well done. And the three main characters are Jesus, right? Simon the Pharisee, and we have the sinful woman. All three of those characters are in this story. And we're going to start the story with Simon the Pharisee, okay? And he's invited Jesus to dinner. We already got that from Michaela's reading. Seems innocent enough, right? Nice guy, inviting Jesus over for dinner. You know, that sounds like a good deal. Inviting a rabbi to dinner to listen to his teachings and share in conversation and fellowship. Or think about it. Is there something else? Is there something else going on here? A Pharisee inviting Jesus? You know, there's some stuff going on there. Now, we know that Simon is a Pharisee, one of the separated ones, raised as a member of the Jewish sect, distinguished by strict observances of the traditional and written law, and commonly held to a high esteem. Now, he's inviting Jesus to dinner, okay? Get that. And they're sometimes viewed by many folks as self-righteous and hypocritical. In other words, they don't practice what they preach. Simon also knows Jesus is rocking the boat, okay? It's about midway through Jesus' ministry, and he's starting to rock the boat in their Jewish communities, and people are being healed, and they're starting to follow him in great numbers. So digging a little deeper, doesn't it seem a little suspect to you too? that this Pharisee is inviting Jesus to dinner? Seems a little odd. You see, Simon seems more like a fan than a follower of Christ. He's a fan of Jesus because of the numbers. Then we have the woman with a pretty checkered past, to say the least. Here she is at the Pharisee for dinner. Sounds a little odd. Okay, now get this, she didn't have an invitation like Jesus did. She just showed up. But the dinner was held in an open courtyard, and back then the Pharisees had these big mansions, and outside they had this big courtyard where they ate when the weather was nice. When they ate with their guests out there in the courtyard. And the cool thing about it is, the people could come in to hear the conversations and the teachings of the rabbi. So anyone could come in, not to eat, but to listen and to surround the area. So I guess what you could call the woman was a party crasher, right? She crashed a party, like the rest of them. You see, after the meal and the guests returned inside, the poor folks got to scavenge the tables and the grounds for what scraps were left. And this is how the woman comes into play. This is how she gets in to eventually be behind Jesus. And Jesus, the other character in the story, Jesus is Jesus, right? You all know Jesus. But he already knows the players in this game and the motives in their hearts as well. He knows what the Pharisee is up to. And he has a good idea what the woman has in her heart. So, I mean, it's Jesus. Okay, Jesus is Jesus. The Pharisee invited him to dinner, calling him a rabbi. A rabbi were held way in high places. They were treated with respect. But in this case, what happened with the Pharisee? First time Jesus arrived, the customary greeting in those days was the kiss of peace. Well, that didn't happen. Water to wash his feet. That didn't happen. And oil placed on his head. And that didn't happen. All those signs of respect to the rabbis was not shown to Jesus. Something going on here? I don't know. We'll see. You see, a lot of people back then didn't take baths like we do today. That's what the perfume was for. So some of us today take two or three baths a day. That's not me. Okay, I'm good with one, you know. Unless I'm mowing the grass, then two. Okay, but back then it may have been a long time. And it wasn't baths like we have today, but I'll get off the bath kick now. And they had pretty dirty feet, because they were wearing open-toed sandals. The feet got really dirty. That's what the water was for. You already know that. Do you see something else playing out here with the Pharisee and his motives for inviting Jesus to dinner? Now, everyone knew that Jesus was going to the Pharisee's house. Everyone knew in town. I'm sure he bragged it up. I don't think they had posters back then, but I'm sure he told everyone, and everyone told everyone else, and everyone started bragging about it. Can you imagine the bragging rights appointed to someone asking the most talked about rabbi, rocking the boat of the Jewish communities, is coming to my house for dinner? Now, wouldn't that be cool? Wouldn't you go out and tell people about that? This guy took it a little further. He was bragging about it. He was enjoying everyone probably praising him for having Jesus at his house. You see, it was the cool factor. It was the cool factor having Jesus over. He was the one raising the roof in different places, shaking up the traditions of the land. And he was having this guy over at his house. You guys ever get caught up in bragging about something? No, probably not. Only me. Well, I think there's two different kinds of bragging here, right? There's good bragging and there's bad bragging, or maybe there's no difference. I think there's two differences there. I think there's a difference. Now, here, I'll give you an instance of a good brag. All right? I'm going to go for it. This past Tuesday, we had our fourth grandchild, Emily Alice Eshelman. Yeah. And earlier in the year, in August, the little guy was here. I think he stepped out for a brief moment. We had Rhett Gable Eshelman. So we had doubled our grandchildren this year. And the other two are 7 years old, and they're back in children's church. That's good bragging, I think, right? Bragging about your grandkids and your kids. I think that's good stuff. And if you're not there yet, you'll find out. It'll be good stuff. All right. Now, if I went a little further and started telling you about their fingers, their toes, their diaper changes, how many bottles they drink, yada, 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 then I may be tipping the scales a little bit and be going into the maybe shouldn't be talking about that, the bad bragging side of things. Not necessarily bad, but you guys don't need to hear about that. That's what I'm talking about with the Pharisee. It was cool that Jesus was coming to his house. But then to boast about it and to bring it back on himself, took it in and tipped the scales to the bad bragging side. So be careful when you're bragging. Don't go too far with it. Okay, it's okay. Talk about your kids, grandkids, and what they do at school and stuff like that. But then let it go. Let it simmer. But this Pharisee, he was feeling pretty good about himself. So Jesus takes his place at the table, reclining with his feet behind him as he ate. And that's how they ate. When you see pictures of Jesus sitting at a table, eating whatever, that's not really how they ate back then. They reclined. They put their feet behind them and their arm up like this, and then they ate. Okay, just for future reference. You might want to try it at home sometime, see how comfortable you are. Okay, might be a good way to watch football. But the sinful woman, knowing Jesus would be there, and knowing what he has been doing throughout the land, and maybe witnessing a few of those miracles, stood behind his feet and started to weep. Just uncontrollably, just wept. Her love for Jesus was so heavy in her heart that it just spilled out onto his feet. She loved him so much. Do you ever do that with Jesus? Do you ever love him so much that you started to weep? This was the lady. She just couldn't contain her love for Jesus any longer. Taking her hair out of its covering, and that was also a no-no back in those days. The women never let their hair down in public. She had another strike against her besides her past now. She was always already being frowned upon for letting her hair down in public. Crazy rules. She wiped his feet with her hair, kissed them, poured perfume on them from the alabaster jar that hung around her neck. And this wasn't something special to her. This is what something the women in that time all wore, this alabaster jar around them with perfume. You see, she was just showing her love for Jesus in a way that the Pharisee and others around her could not understand. See, the Pharisee was too busy looking for some flaws and looking for the bad things that may be happening and looking at the character of Jesus. You know, this woman was a sinner, there's no doubt. She was a prostitute. Plain and simple. She's far from perfect. But you know what? She knew it. She knew it. She knew she needed to turn her life around and ask for forgiveness and had her faith in Jesus. The Pharisee thought he had it, thought he had it made. You know, he studied the Torah, the first five books of the Bible, his whole life. He knew every word in there. He followed all the rules, man-made or God-ordained, and thought he had it all. He didn't need anything else, and he certainly didn't need what Jesus was selling. But listen to this. In verse 39, when the Pharisee who invited him saw this, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would know who is touching him and what kind of woman she is, that she is a sinner." That she is a sinner. Well, now, what I think is pretty cool here is the next sentence, the next verse. Jesus answered him, "Simon, I have something to tell you." Now, right before that, Simon was sort of talking to himself. But Jesus answered him. There was no question. Simon didn't ask any questions. But yet Jesus knew what he was talking about and asking about without even the words being spoken. You see, Jesus knows what's in your mind. He knows what's in your heart. He knows what's in your life. He knew what the Pharisee was thinking. And Michaela already read this, but I'm going to hit it again just to let it sink in a little bit. I think I have to get my cheaters out here. Hang on. Yes. It's that time. Jesus answered him, "Simon, I have something to tell you." "Tell me, teacher," he said. "Two men owed money to a certain moneylender. One owed him 500 denarii and the other 50. Neither of them had the money to pay him back. So he canceled the debts of both. Now, which of them will love you more?" Simon replied, "I suppose the one who had the bigger debt canceled." "You have judged correctly," Jesus said. Then he turned toward the woman and said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I came into your house. You did not give me any water for my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair." See, Jesus knew the respect for a rabbi. "You did not give me a kiss, but this woman from the time I entered has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not pour oil on my head, but she has poured perfume on my feet. Therefore, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, for she loved much. But he who has been forgiven little loves little." Then Jesus said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." And the other guests began to say among themselves, "Who is this who even forgives sins?" And Jesus said to the woman, "Your faith saved you. Go in peace." It's all right there, folks. It's all right there. You see, near the beginning, I mentioned Jesus is Jesus. And he loves you for who you are. He already knew the players in the game and their motives and their heart as well, as he knows yours and your motives. This story demonstrates a contrast between two attitudes, a mind and heart. Simon was conscious on no need for forgiveness and therefore loved little. He had it all. He didn't really need forgiveness. Didn't do anything wrong. The woman was conscious of nothing else than shouting out her need to change in her life and was overwhelmed with love for Jesus. the one who could provide this change in her life and therefore receive forgiveness. That's a big deal. It's a real big deal. You know something else here? She didn't verbally ask for forgiveness. Did you notice that? Her actions spoke louder than her words. As Jesus said, her faith set her free. You got a faith that strong? As she did? Have you been that desperate to surrender your life to Jesus? Folks, there's one more character in today's message. It's you. And it's me. It's all of us. You see, fan or follower up there, some of you may remember the Not a Fan series that we did by Kyle Eidelman. And it sort of fit in here today because a Pharisee, he was sort of a fan of Jesus. He wanted to get all the highlights, be the cool guy, be bringing him over to his house, being a fan, but had no skin in the game, didn't plan on having any skin in the game. It was all about just hanging out with Jesus and being cool. And the follower, like the woman in today's parable, put it all on the line. Put her life in the hands of Jesus, all of her life, not just a piece of it. She gave it all up. She wept at the feet of Jesus. Folks, today in this room, we have both sitting in here. We have the fan and the follower sitting right here in this room. We have people in this room that have not put their skin in the game, as they say. Still sitting on the sidelines, waiting for something, I don't know what. And we have the followers too. We have people sitting here today who need the forgiveness of Jesus to rain down upon them right here and now. Right here and now. See, folks, it's time to surrender your life to Christ. You're not keeping any secrets from him. He knows all about you. The only person you're fooling is yourself. See, we need to weep at the feet of Jesus. And we need to let our faith in him set us free. It's pretty cool, isn't it? We got to give it all up for Jesus. You see, as the woman and Simon too, Jesus knew the true heart. He knows yours too. Jesus already knows your secrets. You have buried. You keep them buried pretty deep. We're good at that, but he knows how to dig them up. He knew the sinful woman's past, but also knew the true love and devotion she had for him. She didn't come for anything else but to show her love for Jesus. That was it. By Jesus knowing her heart and her faith in him, he washed away her sins and set her free. He can do the same thing for you. That same Jesus is here for you and me today. So you need to give it up. You got to give it up today and give it up to Jesus. You know, I said we had two types sitting here today, the fan and the follower. We also have the Pharisee sitting here in this room today. The person that's saying, baloney, with you, I'm good enough. I'm certainly not as bad as that woman, and I'm certainly not as bad as that guy over there. And I won't point because I don't want to point anyone out because that just wouldn't be right. You know, I follow the rules. I read my Bible. I do everything that's I have to do. And you know, that's a great thing to do. That's a real great thing to do. But it's not enough. It doesn't make you any less a sinner. You're still a sinner. You're still a sinner and you need forgiveness. We all do. It's just the way it is. We all need Jesus. If you don't know that, you do. We all need Jesus. It's plain and simple. It is pretty simple. We make it hard. I'm going to tell you this one thing here. Okay? We all have a flaw. No matter how perfect you think you are, you got a major flaw. You know what it is? You're human. That's it. We're broken. We were broken from the first time we were set foot in this earth. And we'll be broken till we leave. You're human. It's okay to be imperfect. Jesus doesn't expect you to be perfect, but he wants you to come to him with your imperfections so he can start perfecting them. You get it? I hope we do. Because Jesus is the only one that can set you free. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this day. You are the only one that can set us free. Once we get that in our heads and we start giving our lives completely up to you, then and only then will things start getting better in the world. So God, we just ask that each person here today finds Jesus in their lives, a deep compassion, love for him that he has for each of us. I mean, he loves us so much that, man, we just can't fathom how much he loves us. So God, if we could just recoup some of that and give it back to him and let him know each day the way we live our lives, the way we treat others, the way we just walk in the ways of you, Jesus, then and only then will we see the true light in your eyes. God, let us see through your eyes. Let us look at the world through your eyes. And let us not judge others as we seem to do daily. God, we're just as much a sinner as the next guy, the next woman, the next person beside us. So let us work together to heal each other's hearts and bring our love to you each and every day. Thank you, Father, for this day and beautiful snow outside and this Thanksgiving Day coming up in the Christmas season. We just ask your blessing upon everyone here today and your love just to shower down upon them. In Jesus' name, amen.